It is Friday, June 15th. Let's talk PlayStation. All right, E3 is pretty much wrapping up now, which is great. Of course, on Monday, we did do the coverage of Sony's conference. Well, really, it went into Tuesday morning because it was so late, but we did do the recap of Sony's entire event and the impressions video that is up now if you want to go check that out. But of course, as I said in that video, there's probably some details that we'll find out in the coming days of E3 going on. And yeah, we definitely got some things to discuss. One thing being Sony actually responding to the controversy of Sony's conference, because of course it was a very different conference. The pacing was very weird. It was very odd having that intermission from going to the church and then going to a regular auditorium setting. Sony's Michael Denny basically responded to the criticism saying, understandably, they were trying something a little bit different, and he realizes that they kind of missed the mark there for a lot of people, because generally people didn't really weren't too into it. But he said that basically they wanted to approach it in a way where the games could talk for themselves, which is why Sony basically showed just four extended gameplay looks of the four games that they were showing off and having a little bit of third-party stuff in between. But of course, the pacing was the weird part, and basically that was them saying that they were trying something different. I wish they would just kind of openly admit that they didn't really have a whole lot to show this year, so they just had to go with extended gameplay of four different games and doing something like overly, you know, dramatic, which is that they provided two musical performances often at times. Like, who's that really for? That's not for investors. Fans don't really care. It's basically just for the people that are actually present at E3, which, yeah, I mean, sure, okay, cater for those people too. That's all well and good. Of course, I know the people on the E3 ground floor want to enjoy themselves, and even though most of them are journalists, and really they're there to do a job more or less, but, you know, the musical performance, a lot of E3 is just getting, like, overly dramatic and lavish, and it's just kind of weird, and it seems like there's not really a place for it, but that can kind of go into a whole separate thing. But basically, Sony said, oh yeah, we just did something different. Now, one thing you might not have noticed about E3, or maybe you did, because, like, who doesn't know about, like, Fortnite, and who doesn't know about this controversy once again, but, of course, during Nintendo's Direct, they announced that Fortnite would be available on Nintendo Switch, immediately available for download. Millions of people downloaded. I think it gets about 2 million downloads on the first day, I believe, or maybe just a few hours after. A lot of people are enjoying it, but a lot of people are trying to sign into it, and they're realizing that they can't because they've originally played on a PlayStation 4. And that's the big deal, right? Because Sony doesn't allow crossplay. Typically, I mean, if you're playing on PS4 or Xbox, you're choosing one or the other, so it's not often that people are going from PS4 to Xbox One. But a lot of people, there's some crossover there. A lot of people have PS4s and Switches, Xbox Ones and Switches. If you are playing on an Xbox One, you can easily play the Switch version. If you're playing on a PS4, you cannot sign into the Switch version, get all your stuff, and of course there is no crossplay support it whatsoever. Big criticism, of course, because Fortnite is a very popular game, so a lot of people are playing it. A lot of people are trying to play it and access the rewards and whatnot. Sony was quick to respond with some typical, honestly, bullshit, but they're quoted as saying, "We're always open to hearing what the PlayStation community is interested in to enhance their gaming experience. With more than 80 million monthly active users on PlayStation Network, we've built a huge community of gamers who can play together on Fortnite and in all online titles. We also offer Fortnite crossplay support with PC, Mac, iOS, and Android devices, expanding the opportunity for Fortnite fans on PS4 to play with even more gamers on other platforms. We have nothing further to add beyond this at this point." Look, I mean, this is just getting out of hand. I mean, it's just game after game after game that Sony keeps denying. And of course, we know why they do it. And as a multi-billion-dollar corporation, it's justifiable why they do it. But it just, I think, I mean, what do I know? But I think this is within Sony's best interest to start allowing this. I mean, you're going to keep pissing people off over and over again for every single title that you keep doing this with. Every other manufacturer is playing along nicely. Of course, PC, mobile, you know, that's kind of, you know, easy and accessible, right? And of course, Sony wants to play with those just fine, but not, God forbid, it's Nintendo or Xbox. Yeah, they're the market leader. It makes sense why they're not doing it, but it's at this point, I mean, it's just not part of Sony's goodwill, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't the behavior that they've been well known for over the last decade or so of all the moves that they've been constantly doing to proactively prove to the consumers that, you know, this is why PlayStation is the best place to play. This is why we take care of our customers, this, that, and the other. You know, over time, this is just going to keep getting worse, right? And for a big popular game like Fortnite, I mean, this is where they're really getting, you know, some pressure under this. You know, they're really in the spotlight for this one. And it's just going to keep going, you know? That comment answered nothing. It said, oh, we're continuously listening to the community. Like, no, you're not. You're not listening to the community. You're just making a selfish decision. Justifiably so, but I think it's in their best interest to start allowing this. You know, if not now, down the road. So one thing you might be wondering about PS4 as we go into the very early start of rumors and speculation of next generation consoles, and we know what all of Sony Worldwide Studios developers are working on, which is announced PS4 games. A lot of people are wondering if there's any more unannounced PS4 exclusives. Well, in an interview with Jagat, Shuhei Yoshida during E3 was asked about if there's any unannounced PS4 exclusive, which he vaguely basically answered, yes, there are still unannounced PS4 exclusives. And there's really not much more we can go on because that's so ambiguous to the point where it could really be anything, whether it's a small-scale game or a multi-million dollar game. You know, we've discussed this a few times. There's maybe one or two multi-million dollar games that are still unannounced for PS4 that would be considered, you know, PS4 exclusives. They could very well be games that are slated for PS4 and PS5 at the same time, you know what I mean? If you're looking at the long-term roadmap of when they think they're going to launch PS5, you know, and considering we have a grand understanding of what PS5 is going to be and what it's aimed for, right, which is that easy-to-develop for architecture, much like PS4's customized AMD Jaguar CPU, right? And it's poised to be backwards compatible. You got to figure there's some very easy crossover with doing a PS4 and a PS5 game. And then you'd see, you know, maybe one or two years after PS5's release where you start seeing just strictly PlayStation 5 games, you know. But you could have a situation like Little Big Planet 3 where the game can release on PS4 and PS5, much like it did with PS3 and PS4. And it would be one of those last few exclusive games where you'd see it on both platforms. So one thing that happened right after E3 was some heavy coverage of The Last of Us Part 2. Because, of course, during that conference, we got that very extended footage of gameplay. It was like 8 to 10 minutes long, showed us a lot of stuff. But, of course, there's a lot of questions, right? There's a lot of things we want to know about The Last of Us Part 2. And Naughty Dog is being incredibly secretive. There's still not a whole lot we figured out. But Naughty Dog has released a few details. So, number one, this game is entirely only playable as Ellie. You are not playing as any other character. Naughty Dog pretty much confirmed that. Number two, they pretty much dramatically overhauled and improved upon the animation and the AI, which was immediately evident in that gameplay, which is what piqued a lot of people to question if the gameplay was scripted, right? Because there's a lot of moments in that game, or in that footage, where you think, my God, this just seems a little too good to be true, right? Where Ellie's underneath the car, and that NPC looked under the car so just so naturally, right? Like, it looked like it was a scripted moment. But this apparently is going to be things that you can run into the game quite often. And the AI was apparently designed in a way where if you're making too much noise in the bushes or something, the AI can talk to each other and actually give each other names. Like, they'll actually call out to each other, like, hey, John, or hey, Rob, and they'll figure out and triangulate where you are, just trying to build smarter AI, which is impressive stuff. One particular gameplay moment I also noticed, which I thought was a little overly realistic, you know, I just looked at it and I thought, oh, that's pretty cool, right, is when Ellie had, I believe, an arrow or a knife or something in her shoulder, and she pulled it out just as she was finally had received cover, right? And I feel like there's going to be a lot of moments in that game where you're just going to see just those small little nuances and touches where it just makes the world that much more believable. The other thing that Naughty Dog wanted to discuss was about the violence in the game, because, of course, another moment in that gameplay is when you would see the cultists and they stabbed that guy in the stomach and pulled out a lot of his guts. And, you know, it's pretty, a lot of what we've seen so far with The Last of Us Part 2 has been really violent. And of course, a lot of games are violent, right? But this is like pretty, I don't want to say excessive, but certainly it's because of how realistic in nature the game looks and how well it's being designed and how well the animations are. It does look pretty gruesome. Well, Naughty Dog's purposely trying to get people repulsed. They're trying to get people to feel a little bit uncomfortable, which is a thing that a lot of people felt actually in the first game. There's a few moments in the first game where you do feel uncomfortable, or you do question your actions. They want you to feel that in The Last of Us Part 2 because the game is entirely centered around hatred. Another thing that Naughty Dog wanted to mention about that angle is that they're not trying to pose Ellie as a one-sided character of pure hatred, but a multifaceted character that's going to be focusing on a number of things, whether it's hatred or the fact that she's now a teenager in Jackson. This is right after the events of the first game, of course, but it's 5 years after. They're still in Jackson, and she's still, you know, she's basically a teenager living out her years as what a young teenager does. But of course, something happens in Jackson, and that's where the game goes into a number of different, you know, unknown, you know, paths, right? We won't know until we learn more about the game or until we actually play the game, but we do get, you know, there's a lot more that we've found out. The more I see it, the more I'm getting I mean, like, I saw that gameplay and I was like, man, that's awesome. But now the more I hear about it from Naughty Dog personally, now I'm really getting excited because you could tell how much work and passion is going into it from the team. For our final news story, it is a PS5 news story. A rumor, of course, heavy, heavy rumor, but apparently sources very close to the entire situation of what's going on with AMD and Sony. Reportedly, with the hardware that Sony's trying to pack into this thing, it's on track for being released in 2020, basically. I'm seeing a lot of people bring up the John Codera quote where he said that PS4 is ending the near of its life cycle, and he specifically said 2021. And a lot of people are taking that quote out of context that comment out of context because he doesn't necessarily say it's going to be, like, in no way, shape, or form does he imply that 2021 is when PlayStation 5 will come out or when the next generation will start. He simply implies that 2021 is when they will more than likely support PS4 in a substantial capacity. And that's, you know, what I at least take to that, and what I would assume what that means is that you're going to have PS4 games from Sony themselves probably, you know, heavily supported well into 2021, and then that would be kind of the cutoff for Sony Worldwide Studios. You'd still, of course, have the PlayStation Store working. You'd still have downloads working. You'd still have a friends list and, you know, the general network usage. You'd still, you know, Sony would still allow third parties. Sony would still manufacture the system well past 2021. But in terms of them, you know, having first parties work directly on the system or something, you would think that that's probably the cutoff that they're referring to, whereas you'd still see 2020 release next generation hardware, and again you'd have a year crossover of Sony still heavily focusing on moving PS4s and providing games on PS4, and then they'd do, you know, they'd full stop go on to PlayStation 5 entirely as Sony's Worldwide Studios transition over to PS5 development, which a lot of them more than likely may end up doing after they finish their current PS4 games. The other thing I wanted to discuss real quick is at least what Microsoft had mentioned during near the end of their conference, which is that they are taking what appears to be a somewhat dramatically different approach from what at least Sony apparently is doing. Of course, we don't have a great idea of what Sony's doing. We just know that they're, by all accounts and rumors, they're aiming for next-gen hardware around 2020 with, you know, working closely with AMD. Presumably, it's going to be one platform, and presumably, it will have backwards compatibility. That's, you know, what we're assuming. But Microsoft, on the other hand, announced what appears to be multiple consoles, so perhaps different models, where it's base model hardware, and you could buy top-tier hardware, scaling the games, of course, based on what machine that you're playing the games on, which is what we're, you know, seeing now with PS4 and PS4 Pro, X1, X1X. And they also mentioned a streaming service where you could stream games to not only Xbox consoles, but PC and mobile. Again, kind of what they have been preaching for a few years now, which is diversifying Xbox and not just making Xbox not necessarily a platform, but a service to people that people can access anywhere. And that's not really a far cry from what Sony's doing based on PlayStation Now, but it seems like Sony may still be taking a more traditional route with PS5. There's probably still a lot of things that Sony's working on, like, for example, the blockchain technology we talked about maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, where Sony could possibly be working on that with PlayStation 5. You got to figure Sony wants to do something pretty different and substantial with next-gen hardware, not necessarily a traditional box. It may very well be that, but they want to do something a little bit new and exciting because as we get more and more, you know, power with hardware, you get diminishing returns in terms of the visuals and the performance you can get out of machines. Yeah, you're getting higher frame rates, higher resolutions, but the details are always so much more minute and minor compared to, say, a jump from PS1 to PS2. But man, this is, you know what I'm realizing is that the next, like, year and a half, 2 years until we get PS5 and whatever Microsoft's doing is going to be, I think, a lot more exciting than what it was back in 2012 into 2013. It seems like there's a lot of exciting things coming from Sony and Microsoft, possibly, based on what we're hearing right now. So, man, this is going to be good. Those are some of the news stories that I want to talk about with you guys from this past week. So E3's over, and man, so let me tell you, it's just been a busy, busy month for me. I'll tell you, I finally got my car, which is great. It's so awesome not being a prisoner in your own apartment, so I'm finally back on the road, which is awesome. But I got a wedding this coming weekend. Then I'm going to be traveling a lot for the month of June, and then going into early July, I'll also be traveling a lot. So it's just going to be very hard to get back into the grind of having videos on the channel that's not just Let's Talk PlayStation, but at least the good thing is I still have some videos that were pre-recorded. So admittedly, this coming Monday or Tuesday, expect some random video. And I, at this point, that's the thing too. They're completely random ideas that I just hadn't made. So at this point, I'm expecting them to get like 1,000 views, like that Katamari video. But if you do want to check them out, by all means, go ahead and do that. That long form video I was telling you guys about is probably going to be up in the next week and a half, 2 weeks. Although I will mention right now, Patreon supporters are getting that video a week early, because you guys mean a lot to me for you guys that are on Patreon. So just a little extra little thing for you guys. By all means, if you want to support me on Patreon, I'd really appreciate that, just so it justifies my time a little bit to work on YouTube a little bit more, because I'm just super busy recently. But I'm trying not to be in that slump of just LTPS videos again. I want to keep doing some more uploads. But as a fair warning, I'm just going to be really busy coming up. Other than that, that's all I got going on for you guys. So that concludes this week's episode of Let's Talk PlayStation. I'm Ryan Benecki. Thank you all so much for talking with me, and I will see you guys next Friday.